RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Larissa Richardson, a.k.a. the Papa Princess, is mom to three awesome kids and wife to an adrenaline junkie. She is also an avid DIYer who bought and renovated a used Coleman Santa Fe pop-up camper. Her family loves camping, hiking, and exploring the great outdoors, and they enjoy an adventurous trip every summer. You can find her amazing pop-up tips and tricks over at thepopupprincess.com, and you can follow her on Instagram and Facebook as well. Welcome back to the show, Larissa.
Thanks, Stephanie. It's nice to be back.
Well, last time on episode number 24, you took us to Silver Falls State Park in Oregon. Where are you taking us to this week?
We're going to stick around to Oregon, and we're going to visit Ainsworth State Park, which is located just about 20 minutes west of Portland in the Columbia River Gorge Recreation Area.
Which is one of my favorite places in this entire country, so I can't wait to hear this review. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. Adding an RV policy to another Progressive policy like a home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. All right, so take us to Portland, Oregon, Ainsworth State Park. Where exactly is this?
It's about 20 minutes west of Portland, Oregon. You're just going to get off and head west to the Columbia River Gorge, and you'll be able to see the Columbia River as you're taking the highway out. And you get off actually on this historic, I think it's Highway 30, to get to the state park, and it is really just gorgeous. You get to see the ships going up the Columbia River, and there's a big Garden of the Gods bridge. It's beautiful.
Already, I know that for a lot of our listeners that are like Jeremy and myself, we love those sort of gorgeous places that are really close to urban settings. And it sounds like this is one of those places.
It is. And I can always tell if it's a place we're going to like, because if my kids, my teenagers will look up from the electronics long enough to take in the view, then I know we're going to have a good time. And the whole time they were like, wow, look at that. Oh my gosh, look at that. And being from Arizona, we're not really used to a whole lot of green anyway, but this was just breathtaking. Everything was breathtaking. And when we got off the main highway to that historic highway, we could not believe how beautiful it was. And we passed several waterfalls getting to our campground. It was just gorgeous.
Now, this is a state park in the Oregon State Park System, which is very famous for being a wonderful state park system. Describe the size of the campground, how it was when you got there.
Well, this is a smaller campground. We'd come here straight from Silver Falls, which is, I think, their biggest campground. And this is one of their smaller campgrounds. There's only about 46 sites. And about, I think, 40 to 43 of those are full hookup sites. And there's some pull through and some back in. And then there's also some walk-up tent sites and just like a big, almost grassy lawn area that they allow bikers to come in and set up walk-up tents as well.
Oh, okay. So it's not that big, but it's really close to a popular destination in our country. So is it hard to get a site?
You know, I think that it is. We booked far enough advance that we didn't have any problem, but they also have Oregon State Park Days, and I think I've talked about that before, where you get free admission to state parks, and if you're camping that night, you also get a free night stay. So if you're looking to camp around, I think that it's the first Saturday of every month, you get free camping fees. And so if that's the case, you want to make sure that you book way in advance because it's going to be really packed.
You know what? I wonder if there's a link to like those camping days online in the state's park system that we can put in the show notes.
I'm sure there are.
Because that would be like a pretty good tip to have, because if you don't even realize that you're going during one of those days, you might have more difficulty getting a spot.
And we booked our stay online, and it was a really easy way to book our stay, but it told us there when we were booking that it was state park days, and it took off the amount of our camping fees.
Well, so that was a win for you.
Yeah, and we were able to stay a couple nights for really cheap, and they have full hookups. It was really great.
Now, how much were the sites if you weren't getting that discount?
They're $24 a night, and in this part of the United States, $24 a night for full hookups is pretty dang good.
I think that's good anywhere in the country for full hookups. I mean, that's a typical price, I feel like, for state parks with just electric or just water, you know, in a lot of places.
It is, especially on the West Coast. It's a great price. And the nice thing about Oregon State Parks is they have great clean bathrooms, but all their showers are free. So you don't have to worry about bringing quarters along for your showers.
And hot showers.
And they're all really clean. We were never at a state park that we felt uncomfortable using the facilities because they were all very well maintained.
All right. So it sounds to me like maybe we need to set up a system with some of our other states and their park service where they can go to Oregon and like learn exactly how they manage to keep their bathrooms clean. We just had Kate Dunbar on for a Texas state park that she absolutely loved, but she said the bathrooms needed so much work. And that's a really important part of your experience.
It is. It is. Especially with, in our case, with teenagers, they did not want to use the bathrooms in some of the parks that we visited, but they had no problem here in Oregon. Everything was really well maintained.
All right. So now tell us a little more. Let's zoom in to the particular sites. What are the sites like here in this park?
So there are two loops to this park. There's an A loop and a B loop, and the A loop is kind of the higher loop when you come in, and those are the bigger sites. I think that they were meant for some of the bigger rigs, and they're all pull-throughs.
So that's where you are.
Okay. Yeah, it was definitely more quiet. I think it was less, there were fewer families up in the A loops when we were staying there than there were down in the B loop. Down in the B loop, there was more, the sites were a little closer together. There was a lot more commotion. There were kids riding their bikes, things like that. It was definitely very family friendly all the way around, but the B loop was where more of the action was going on.
So if you feel like you have loud kids and you want to be comfortable with that, go for the B loop.
Yeah, definitely. Because our kids were older. They're not really loud. So we didn't have a problem, but almost everybody up in the A loop was in some of those bigger rigs, and they were either older couples or singles traveling alone. And so there wasn't a whole lot of noise and stuff going on up in the A loop.
Okay, so you mentioned pull-throughs, but can you like tell me, were the sites like wooded and private, or was it more open feeling?
So where we stayed up in the A loop, we backed up to the woods. Like, it was right there, very green. There was almost a hill behind us that was just covered in trees and ivy and moss everywhere, but there wasn't any sort of divider in between the sites. Like, if we had the windows to our pop-up open, we could see right into the windows of the person next to us. So there wasn't any sort of privacy or divider or overgrowth or anything in between the sites.
Okay, and the same was the B loop?
The ones that we drove by, they were kind of the same feel. Some of the ones in the B loop looked like they might have been tucked back in a little bit more. It might have just been the way that the person had parked their vehicle, but Some of the B-loop sites looked a little bit more private, but they were closer together. They weren't as spread out.
So you get nice scenery, but you're not necessarily getting that like enclosed wooded feel.
No, not really.
All right, which I'm okay with. I discovered that about myself this summer, is like the deeply wooded sites make me feel a little claustrophobic, and I like a view.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never realized that about myself.
We're kind of the opposite. We like to feel a little bit secluded, but we never really felt like anybody was on top of us here. So it was, and it was close enough to all the things that we wanted to see that we didn't mind not being as secluded as we normally would pick.
Now, was there Wi-Fi at this campground?
There is not Wi-Fi here. We did have cell service, though. We didn't have any problem with our phones. And in fact, my husband had to work one of the days and was able to tether his laptop to his phone, and the speed was great. He had
Okay. So he was able to hotspot it and work no problem. Okay, good. Now, okay, this is a state park. What kind of amenities? I'm thinking pretty simple usually, but what kind of amenities are in the campground?
You know, this is a smaller campground, so they didn't even really have a check-in station. And I only saw one ranger the whole entire time we were there. So it's really pretty basic. They do have great bathrooms, clean showers, warm showers. Like I said, you don't have to pay anything to use them. They do have a dump station, but that's about it. They don't have any other like major amenities. There was no washer, dryer, laundry room area, anything like that.
Now, I'm calling this a base camp then, because you know it doesn't have any activities either in the campground, but the amenities and activities are outside in, you know, the amazing city of Portland. So, and in the natural, you know, landscape around Portland. So to me, this feels like, after listening to you describe it, it feels like it really is a beautiful base camp for exploring this region.
And that's what we used it for. It was absolutely perfect.
Now, okay, what kind of insider details do you have for us?
Well, I would kind of recommend staying in the back few A-loop sites. They're a little bit quieter. And if you're coming home after a long day, and if you've got kids that maybe want to go to bed and you don't want all that commotion after a long day of hiking, it's a little quieter. We were able to come home, make a meal, sit around the campfire, and the kids were off to bed pretty quickly, and they were dead tired after our day. So it was close enough to the bathrooms that we could use the bathrooms and, you know, all the amenities that we needed to quickly, but far away from the highway noise and everything, that it felt secluded.
Now,
and that's the thing that we like.
Right.
Maybe everybody doesn't, but that's my insider tip. We really like the back A-loops.
Well, Larissa, you're in a pop-up, I want to remind everybody. And we also have a lot of listeners that are in hybrids, same thing. You're going to be more sensitive to noise and to light, right?
That is true. That is true. I didn't think of that.
So if you have those, yeah. You want to be tucked back. So that's really a great tip for those of our listeners that are in the pop-up or the hybrid. And there's a lot of them, because you want to be tucked away from any of that ambient noise, because otherwise, especially if you have a little one, like, who's going to wake up to it and, you know, ruin your night around the campfire. That's a good one. Now, we here at Campground of the Week know that nobody's perfect. So even though this is a great base camp for exploring the greater Portland area, you know, what's your one complaint?
You know, the one complaint would have to be the railroad noise. There is railroad tracks that run through the Columbia River Gorge. And anywhere that you stay in the Columbia River Gorge, you're going to get railroad noise. So there's not really any getting around that. But the trains are loud, and they did come by pretty frequently and at all hours of the night. So the first night, it was pretty frustrating for us. But after a while, we just started tuning them out.
Which you do with railroads, but that first night we'll wake up all night long with that.
Yeah, it was kind of brutal. And there's another plus to staying in the back A-loop sites, is it was a little bit further from the noise, and we didn't have it as loud as the B-loop sites do. So,
all right, so some sort of fan, white noise, earplugs.
Absolutely.
Bring them with you and you'll get a good night's sleep. It's always the long trains that like do me in too. Like the ones that just keep going and going. You're like, really?
And we're in a pop-up, so it would do a little bit of shaking. And so, yeah.
Yep. We had a campground that we used to stay at down in North Carolina in our pop-up. And that train, everything about the campground was perfect except for that train at 2 a.m. So we get it. All right. So bring your earplugs, and that won't be an issue for you. All right. Hopefully. All right, Larissa. Well, thank you so much for that great review of Ainsworth State Park outside of Portland, Oregon, in the Columbia River Gorge Recreation Area. There is so much to do in this region around this state park, and we are going to come back, and Larissa is going to tell us everything we're going to do while we're visiting the Portland region. Stay tuned.
Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. From the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Bontrager's farm in 1968, to today, when Jayco, now the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is building everything from camping trailers up to gas Class A motorhomes.
With a blend of old-world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with more standard features and the best 2-year warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website at jayco.com or your closest Jayco dealer for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I am here with Larissa Richardson, aka the Pop-Up Princess, and she is reviewing the Ainsworth State Park Campground, which is about 20 minutes outside of Portland, Oregon, in the Columbia River Gorge Recreation Area. And of course, if you're visiting this area, you are going to want to spend a lot of time in Portland. She's got some great recommendations for us, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say. So you ready, Larissa?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. Why did you come here in the first place? What was the big draw?
So I had seen a picture of Multnomah Falls on Pinterest. And when I was planning our trip, I saw that and I thought, oh my gosh, we have to go there. We have to see this. And so that was the reason that we were drawn to the Columbia River Gorge, was Multnomah Falls.
Now, what you said here, like Multnomah Falls is famous, but even amongst teenagers, it might be famous too, right?
It's actually featured in the Twilight movie. And we didn't know that going in, but we were told that when we got there. And so, of course, when we got home, we had to go watch Twilight and figure out, hey, we've been there. But yeah.
A good reason to watch Twilight if you haven't already. Now, this as an iconic destination in this area, you mentioned to me that it gets really crowded. So how early can you get here and maybe enjoy the falls without like risking just being swamped by people?
You know, I would get there as early as you can. We were there probably by 9 and it was already busy.
Whoa. Okay. So you and bring breakfast.
Yeah, for sure. The parking situation is not fabulous. It's just down the road from Ainsworth Park, so it's still on that historic 30 highway, and it's very narrow, and people are parking on the sides of the highway, but there's a very small parking, I guess a parking lot there as well. Everything was full by the time we got there at 9 a.m., and we had to park on the side of the road and walk, which always makes me a little uncomfortable with kids, but
yeah. Okay. So that is really a good tip, because usually we say if we're somewhere by, you know, 8 or 9, you're usually good, but it sounds like this is the kind of place that you might want to like wake up, get your cup of coffee and go watch the sunrise.
Here's the other thing though. We were there on a weekend, so that might've been part of it. And it was an unusually warm day in Portland. And we were told when we got there that when the sun comes out in Portland, everybody goes out to enjoy the outdoors. So it might not always be that busy, but it was definitely something like Yosemite or Disneyland kind of crowds. We felt very, very, it was very crowded there.
Okay. And you know what? Waterfalls are really nice in like the cloudy mist too. Mm-hmm. So go enjoy it then. And there might not be a crowd, you know.
Yeah. And you absolutely will get better pictures in on a cloudier day. So if you can manage that, if it works into your schedule, visit on a less sunny day and you'll get fewer crowds.
Okay, a cloudy day during the week and you'll be good early in the morning.
But it really was beautiful. Like, I don't regret that we went even with the crowds because it was gorgeous and we were able... I know you've seen a picture. There's the bridge, the iconic stone bridge, and then the waterfall that comes down behind it. And we hiked up to the bridge, but you can hike to the top of the falls. It's just, I'm so glad we did it. It was beautiful. There's a little visitor center there. It was great.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I highly recommend spending a good amount of time doing that hike too, because I really enjoyed that. I haven't been there for years. But if you Google like beautiful waterfall, this is probably the first picture that's going to pop up. It's pretty breathtaking. So what else what other beautiful features did you see in the region?
So we also went to Oneonta Gorge, and that is, it's about 5 minutes from Multnomah Falls, but it's this little side stop off of the highway that it doesn't really even look like anything. And you park your car and you hike in, and it is beautiful. It is the most beautiful hike we've ever been on. It's gorgeous. It's this gorge, and the walls are covered in moss and ivy, and you hike over almost like a tree dam to get through it. So it's a little bit tricky with kids, but we were able to get over this tree dam and down into the gorge. And for most of the hike, you're going to be walking through ankle-deep water, but there are a couple spots that we had to take our packs off and put them up over our heads, and the water got up to our probably our shoulders. It was, and
it's
crazy cold water, but there's small spots. And when you get to the end, the whole journey is beautiful and worth it. But when you get to the end, there's this beautiful waterfall and a deep pool at the edge of the waterfall. And it's a gorgeous photo opportunity. My husband even went for a swim there, and he wasn't the only one. Went for a swim there at the base of the falls, and it was freezing, and he was like bright red, but he said it was exhilarating. And
yeah, it's take your breath away cold water there, right?
It is.
Now,
my kids just think they wanted to do it, and they kept thinking they were going to turn back, but I'm so glad that we did, because they still talk about it to this day, about just the whole atmosphere, and just so quiet in there. There were tons of people in there, and it was still, it had like this peaceful, quiet, just atmosphere. It was beautiful.
Now, you know, as you're telling, you know, the story of that hike, that's exactly what I was thinking in my head was, you know, having teenagers and preteens, like, this is the kind of thing that's perfect for them, because it's shocking enough that they remember it, you know,
yeah,
later, and it makes its mark. So, you know, they don't just remember like, oh, you bored me and dragged me on one hike after another. It like really stands out as a separate experience. And I think that if you're one of those parents, you know, dragging your kids on family activities and saying, nope, we're going to do this, we're going to, you know, break the mold, and then it's important to find things that are out of the box like this.
And out of their comfort zone, because they all looked at that water and they saw the people in front of them and they saw how deep it was. And all three of them were like, I'm not comfortable doing this. And we could have turned around and gone back. And it was beautiful enough that they could have said they saw the gorge and they were there and they'd been there. But the thing that they remember is that they pushed past this thing that was uncomfortable for them, and they got in this shoulder deep water and they waded through it to the end and they reached the end. And that's the thing that sticks in their mind, is that they did something that they wouldn't typically do. And that's what they remember about it.
I love that. Those are my favorite moments, even with my young kids, when I get them to kind of overcome a little bit of a fear and like bungee jump or zip line, or, you know, like, or just even like cross a bridge over a rushing stream that they can see through or something, you know. I get so exhilarated by those moments more than almost anything else we do.
Because those are the things that they'll remember. And those are the things that I remember from my childhood. So, and they're not things that they get in front of the TV screen.
Well, so I'll wait till my kids are a little bit taller to try to drag them there. But in the meantime, you're only about 20 minutes away from Portland, which is truly one of my favorite cities in this country. Sometimes I think about packing everything up and moving there if it wasn't so cloudy. I don't know. I think I'd be affected by that. But what did you do while you were in Portland?
So we had never been there before, and I didn't realize how really amazing Portland is. They have parks everywhere, and it's so green and beautiful. But they're like a foodie's dream. They have some amazing restaurants. We didn't get to try everything out, but we were told that we absolutely had to try Voodoo Donuts. So we packed up the kids and waited in the long line to try Voodoo Donuts. And it was really, really good. The kids had a great time there picking out like custom donuts and different flavors. And they were amazing. Worth the wait.
Yeah. Do you remember what you had?
I don't remember what I had, but I remember that my daughter got this one that we thought was going to be disgusting, that was like bubblegum with Pop Rocks, and it ended up being the best one.
Yeah, and they have funny names, too. They like to give their donuts, like, you know, very whimsical, like funny, winking kind of names. So what else did you eat while you were there?
We also went to a place called Waffle Window, which was really good. I wasn't in the mood for waffles for dinner, and I thought, there's no way we're going to go eat waffles for dinner. That doesn't even sound good. But they had some savory waffles that were amazing. And I still keep asking my husband, can we go back to Portland just for a Waffle Window? Because they had this savory waffle that had bacon and I think it was guacamole and all the stuff on it that was so good. It was one of our, my kids still talk about that meal that was one of the ones that they remember.
I love savory instead of sweet. And I love places that offer that, because I'm like, I could look at a big waffle with whipped cream on and be like, bleh, but put bacon on it.
Yep, that's what I was thinking when we went. I do not want to have like a chocolate chip waffle for dinner, but I didn't have to.
Yeah.
I was able to have a savory one, and my kids could have their sweet ones, and everybody was happy.
All right, what else did you eat?
So we also went to Salt and Straw, and it's this ice cream place that is famous everywhere in the West. And it's only found in, to my understanding, it's only found in Portland. They may have opened one in Los Angeles recently, but it used to be only in Portland. And they have some strange flavors that we thought, as we were waiting in this long line, who even orders this? Like olive oil and pear and blue cheese. But we were reading the menu as we were walking up, and they allow you to sample just about anything you would want to sample. And I was so amazed that the ice cream flavors that I thought we would never want to try were our favorite, and we ended up getting them.
Yeah, getting outside of the like sugar bomb, you know, flavor. Portland's really good at that.
The olive oil was surprisingly, it tasted a lot like a vanilla ice cream, but it just had something slightly different. It wasn't as sweet as your typical ice cream, and it was so good. We could have eaten that all day.
The olive oil ice cream.
Yes.
Could have eaten it all day long.
Right? Yeah.
like a earthy, maybe.
Ice cream, but it was so good.
But you do when you go to Portland.
No. And well, we didn't even mind waiting in the line, because it was just so, it was very interesting. The shop was unique and there was lots to look at, and the kids had a blast.
Well, I hope that you did a lot of activities to work off all of this eating that you did. Did you guys do anything in Portland?
You know, we did a lot of walking. We walked around downtown Portland, and we had intended to go to the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, because we had heard that they had a great planetarium, but we didn't make it in quite in time for their hours. So if you're going, check and make sure what their hours are before you head out there. But I hear it's fantastic. I also hear they have a great zoo and a farmer's market in downtown that's supposed to be fabulous. But
yeah,
we just ended up doing a lot of walking down there because there was so much to see, and my kids just really like to walk around downtown. So
right. And you can give that, like, and Portland is such a accessible place to do that too. You know, a lot of large cities, you think, oh, we'll just wander around, but you don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. But Portland is truly a walkable downtown.
Yeah. It was great.
Oh, good. So you going back?
I hope so. I'm torn between wanting to show them new things and wanting to go back to the places that we've had such an amazing time at. And Portland is one of those cities that we would go back in a heartbeat, because there was so much in Oregon. My kids loved it.
Welcome to every single conversation that Jeremy and I have when we're planning, you know, but we want to go back here, but we want to see this. It all starts there with that struggle. So, well, anything else you want to throw in about your trip before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. It was a fabulous trip. My kids just went on an orchestra retreat and they were asked to tell their favorite family vacation ever. And this was it. This road trip that we took up to Oregon was their favorite trip ever that they've ever been on. So,
well, it's definitely I can see why, as you're telling us about the different stops that you took on it. We can't wait to hear about more stops. All right. So thank you so much to our sponsor, Jayco, for sponsoring Campground of the Week. To see all the new 2017 RVs, visit jayco.com. And also thanks to our sponsor, Progressive. We are at the Hershey RV Show this week from September 14th through 18th. And Progressive is sponsoring four very special Hershey RV episodes that we will be releasing each night with reports on the newest models, everything that we see. We'll also be giving out Progressive swag. So if you spot us, say hi and you will walk away with some fun, free stuff. Just another way that Progressive has you covered. And thank you, Larissa, for joining us. You can see all of her wonderful pop-up makeovers. Where, Larissa? Where can we find you?
You can find us online at thepopupprincess.com.
And any social media places?
We're on Instagram, The Pop-Up Princess, and on Facebook at The Pop-Up Princess.
And you want to follow her on Instagram because really it's eye candy. It is truly RV eye candy, the pictures that she puts
up.
It's
fun stuff.
I just saw right before we did this interview, I saw the the red, white, and blue makeover.
Uh-huh.
How amazing is that? That's so cute.
What I love about that one is that she has, the reader that did that one has six kids under the age of 13, and she remodeled her pop-up camper, and they've already been camping all over Northern California with six little kids.
Six kids and a pop-up. Bless her, right?
I know.
Bless her soul. And she has pretty things in her life, too. Go figure.
Yes.
And I only have three, and I feel like, what?
Same here. She's got to be a superwoman.
Yeah, I'm like the mom screaming, and this is why we can't have nice things. All right, Larissa, we can't wait to have you back for another great review from your pop-up travels. And in the meantime, hopefully we will see you at the campground.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.